I'm going to keep this short. Usually Maharaj points out, Govinda Maharaj points out that my lectures can sometimes go a little long. But I'm going to keep it short because this is my least favorite talk, having to say goodbye. I don't like to say goodbye. When we're on our Polish festival tour and we have our festival programs, we often get 3, 4, 5 thousand people a night. Bigger than this, bigger crowds than this. And in an instant, in a moment, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya, those people get, you could say, a complete experience of Krishna consciousness, chanting, dancing, harikatha, and feasting. That's Krishna consciousness. They get it all, and so when it comes 10 o'clock at night, it's time to go. Sometimes it's like this. We just have people sitting there hanging on every word, hanging on every note of the kirtan, rushing to the restaurant to get some prasad or buy that last book that's available. So they don't want to go and we don't want to go. It's something miraculous. It's that Gaur Shakti, that internal energy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touching the hearts of all of us. So then our classic line when we're the festival's over is we say to all the people that there's only one good thing about saying goodbye, and that is that sometime in the future we can say hello again. So I feel the same, having come on this yatra. I've always been quite busy, so I couldn't come on the yatra before. Now I'm crying tears of lamentation. What was the use of my busyness when I could have had this wonderful experience over and over again during the last few years? This is a highlight in my career as a devotee, to have been able to come here and in association of so many wonderful God brothers and God sisters and Vaishnavas to experience this, really this fivefold process of Krishna consciousness. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, we hear of the 64 items of devotional service, which we hear that five are most important, essential. Chanting Hare Krishna, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, living in a holy place and associating with Vaishnavas. And I find that all of that, those essential aspects of Krishna consciousness, are here in a condensed form on these yatras of the Chaupati devotees from Mumbai. That's what I've experienced. Intense, very intense chanting of Hare Krishna, very intense Bhagavatam, very enlightened speakers, deity worship, going to these places and seeing these famous merciful deities which have been worshipped by our acharyas for centuries, being in the Dham itself where every activity that we perform is, the result is increased 1,000 times, and the association of so many loving, compassionate, merciful devotees. It really is condensed nectar on this yatra. So I don't think I'm going to miss any more in the future. I'm going to make it a point to come again and again with all of you, because coming here means that we go to places like this, Vrindavan, Mayapur, Puri, Srirangam, Udupi, all over India. This is the beauty of this country. There's so many holy places. One time, Prabhupada said, people go to England to get educated, they go to Paris to enjoy, but if they want spiritual enlightenment, they have to go to India, Bharatvarsha. Because Lord comes here again and again, yada yada hi dharmasya ghanar bhavati bharata. Again and again he is coming. This is the beauty of this country. I remember as early as 1971, Srila Prabhupada was coming back to India and spending a lot of time here. And I remember as a young devotee wondering, I thought my spiritual master came to the West, into English-speaking countries to spread Krishna consciousness? How is it he's going back to India again and again and spending so much time there? And now I understand. Prabhupada came back to rejuvenate Vedic culture in this holy land of India so that one day India can be the beacon. It can be the lighthouse, the guide for the whole world in spiritual life. Because real life means Vaishnava culture. And in doing that, he spent so much time, so much energy, so much money buying properties and building temples and establishing them in Vrindavan, in Bombay, and Vrindavan, and Mayapur. And now I know why, because he wanted us to come here to become spiritually surcharged, to go back and preach in the West. He wanted the people of this country to come to these holy places and understand what is their culture. It's so important. We go out and preach about Krishna consciousness, but unless we have something to show for it, our preaching is not complete. So actually Prabhupada was inviting all of us to come here. Actually, I remember at one Mayapur festival in the early 1970s, one GBC man, Rameshwara Prabhu, he said to Prabhupada, because Prabhupada said in the morning class, he said that all of you, there was something like this, 4,000 or 5,000 disciples, all of you should come to this holy dham for this, what was then the Mayapur festival, the Gaurpurnim festival, every year. You should have seen the looks on the faces of the GBC men. All the devotees in the movement should come every year to Mayapur for the Mayapur festival. They all turned white to GBC, thinking how much dollars that's going to cost. So then afterwards, up in Prabhupada's room, Rameshwara Prabhu, he said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, did you really mean that? I mean, if all the devotees come back every year, it's going to be so expensive. Prabhupada said, what is the expense? It is so important to come to these dhams for Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivyam. Because without that spiritual strength, Prabhupada said, how can they go back to those materialistic countries like America and England and preach effectively? So he wanted us to come here and do these things. And we need this association. I know myself, in one sense I think I'm alone. I'm surrounded by many loving disciples and associates and friends, but I often think of quote-unquote the old days. I joined in 1970, and in those days there weren't so many temples around the world, and it was all Prabhupada disciples, and we were working together. I was in France for 15 years in different parts of Europe, and I was with many stalwart devotees at that time. We were all growing up, living, practicing Krishna consciousness, advancing together, having the association of the God brothers and God sisters was so important. It was so refreshing. It was so energizing. And then as time came on and our movement spread, now during the last 35, 36 years, you know, the Prabhupada disciples, they're spread quite thin, those who are still active in our movement, those who are preaching. We really only see each other when we come together for a festival or a yatra or something like this. On my Polish festival tour, I'm the only Prabhupada disciple. And I love my own disciples and other gurus' disciples who are there, but I hanker for that association, because there's three types of association in Krishna consciousness for all of us, no matter who we are. We can always find someone more advanced than us. We can always find those who are on the same level of Krishna consciousness, and we can always find those who are less advanced. Now, in the material world, when someone's more advanced than you, you're envious of them and you want to bring them down. When someone is at the same level of you, you have competition to become better than them. And if someone is less as fortunate as you, you want to exploit them. That's not our Vaishnava culture. In our Vaishnava culture, if someone is more advanced than us, we want to serve them, because we know by serving them they'll become pleased with us and they'll give us blessings, because advanced devotees, that's their whole life, is just to share their good fortune with others. They're not misers. They're oceans of mercy. They know spiritual mathematics. One minus one is a million. The more you give in spiritual life, the more you get. This is the formula. So, when a devotee sees someone more advanced than him, out of appreciation, oh, this Prabhu is teaching me how to come to the next stage in devotional service. Let me serve him, and by serving him, understand how he acquired these good qualities and beg for his mercy. And we always get the mercy. We need to have strong friendships in Krishna consciousness, friendship with those who are on the same level as us in Krishna consciousness, because unless we have friendships in Krishna consciousness, we're social animals, so to speak. We're social people, we're persons. We always live in a society. No man is an island unto himself. If we don't find friendship in Krishna consciousness, then we'll be forced to go outside and find improper association. And we need to not exploit those who are not as advanced, but to give them mercy. Prabhupada said the duty of a first-class man is to make a fifth-class man also a first-class man. In this way, we develop very deep, loving relationships. So on this yatra, it's the perfect opportunity that I can come and I can associate with such an advanced devotee as His Holiness Radhanath Swami. In my travels around the world, when I go to America, nowadays I'm spending a lot of time in America preaching, 2 or 3 months a year. When I go from coast to coast, I meet so many wonderful devotees, aspiring devotees. I always say, those who are not yet initiated, who are you aspiring from? They get this big look on their faces, proud, from His Holiness Radhanath Swami. The whole of America, all the devotees in the temple, they're all aspiring for Radhanath Swami. So I also want to aspire to get His association and serve Him and get His mercy. And Bibi Govinda Maharaj, and there's so many nice, Mother Malati is here, and Sitala is here, and my god sister Vishesha was here. I can come and I can associate with all these advanced god brothers and god sisters and get some mercy. Usually a sannyasi, when he travels, he goes to a place to give association. When I come on this yatra, I come for the purpose of getting association. Because all of you are so nicely trained in Krishna consciousness. So I can get higher association, I have my friends' friends, and I have the opportunity to share with you whatever meager realizations I have. And you're such a wonderful audience that you can appreciate even some little thing I'm saying, then people come afterwards and say that was something nice. You're so kind that you can see some good in this dirty heart. So I thank you for that. It's so inspiring, as Jesus said, it's better to give than it is to receive. So I can experience that on this yatra. I can give, I can sing, I can lecture a little bit, I can associate with all of you, and I can feel the real joy of Krishna consciousness. The real joy of the followers of Lord Chaitanya is to share their good fortune with others. That's where the real happiness begins. We experience some relief from material life when we come. We feel some joy from the spiritual practices. But the real happiness in Krishna consciousness comes, as our acharyas have taught us, as Lord Chaitanya demonstrated, by sharing our good fortune with others. So I get to do that. Those three things I'm able to do here on this. And I feel surcharged, especially in this Mayapur Dham, because as I said today over at the house of Bhaktivinod Thakur, I feel this Dham, this is the heartbeat of the Sankirtan movement. It is the heartbeat here, just like the heart is pumping the blood throughout the body. The blood comes to the heart, it gets oxygenized, it gets the oxygen, and it carries the oxygen to all the different parts of the body. So this is the heart of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, Sri Mayapur Dham. You can hear it in the sound of the drumba, the drums. Teyota nakateyota, boom, 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 boom. Last night I was exhausted from our ecstatic parikrama yesterday, so I took rest a little early, and then the hurricane, it blew open the windows and things were flying around the room, and I closed all the doors. About an hour later, I heard another hurricane. It was the kirtan in the temple room below me. was going on and on and pulsating and pulsating and pulsating and pulsating. I thought, yes, this is the heartbeat. The kirtan of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is starting here and reverberating by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada all over the world. I felt very enlivened like that. So, as the other speakers have said, we should take this mood, this mercy, especially this dham, this is the mercy dham, and we should experience that joy, that real joy of Krishna consciousness by going back to our Prabhudat deshas, our particular places of service, and sharing that with everyone. That is our duty, without discrimination. Whether one is qualified or one is unqualified, we give that mercy. One time a devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, everyone seems to love you. Because Prabhupada was so expert in his dealings, he could bring forth some spark of Krishna consciousness even in the most hard-hearted person. I saw it many times during darshan. At least they would leave with some prasadam. So the disciple said, Prabhupada, everyone loves you. And Prabhupada thought for a moment, he said, yes, that's because I love everyone. We should emulate that. We should emulate that mood of compassion. What is the opposite of compassion? Envy. If you have any material desires in your heart, you may be envious of others' material position, so you can't experience the real nature of compassion. We have to free our hearts of all material desires, of enviousness, so that we can experience real compassion to go out and preach Krishna. This is the first and foremost quality of every preacher. He has to have that compassion. Otherwise, he can't stay out there with all the austerity and the penances and the associating with the materialistic people. That compassion. We can pray for that compassion here. So we can be like Prabhupada. Why did everyone like Prabhupada? Because he loved everyone. One time a devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, disciple, Srila Prabhupada, sometimes I feel so bad for those suffering souls in material existence. And he thought maybe Prabhupada, oh, that's very nice. Prabhupada said, why sometimes? All the time. And if we have that deep sense of compassion, ourselves having experienced the relief of material existence, the joy, the shelter of Krishna consciousness, which these yatras provide us, these very heightened experiences of Krishna consciousness, of chanting and Bhagavatam and deity worship and living in the Dhamma and associating with so many devotees, that experience is increased. So it should increase our desire to go and share it with others. Because Prabhupada was like that. When he traveled around the world, he was very, you could say, result-oriented. He would come, and the first question he would ask the leaders, so, how many temples have been opened? How many books have been distributed? How many devotees have been made? These are the activities of God when he's on this planet. These are the activities of God's pure devotees, the Brajbhasis in the spiritual world who accompany the Lord when he comes to this world, either in his Vrindavan pastimes or his pastimes here in Mayapur as Lord Chaitanya. These are the activities of these great souls. This is what they do. This is what they do. They have their pastimes in the spiritual world, but when they're in this world, what are they doing? They have a burning desire to give Krishna consciousness to all the fallen conditioned souls. If we take up that same desire, we become qualified for their spiritual desires in the spiritual world. This is how you get to the spiritual world. By serving their desires in this world, we qualify ourselves to serve their desires in the spiritual world. So just as Prabhupada had this burning desire to see Krishna consciousness spread all over the world, like father, like son, we cannot imitate Srila Prabhupada and our previous acharyas, but we can follow in their footsteps. And we should think that, oh, this is a small yatra. When I came here, I saw 4,000 devotees. I was going, oh my gosh, how are they going to do it? The logistics of 64 buses going here, there, and everywhere. And somehow, miraculously, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we did a pretty good job. Logistics. I compliment the organizers for a very smooth and efficient operation, despite the cyclone, despite the bonds, the government strikes, and despite these congested Bengali roads. You did a wonderful job, and I thank you. But let us think like Śrīla Prabhupāda thought. He always thought big. Let us not sit on our laurels. Oh, we have 3,800 devotees. No. I said the other day, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was sitting in his house looking out across the Jalangi River, first he saw the Yogapit. He discovered where Mahaprabhu was born. Then, so important to us, he saw this Mayapur Chandadaya Mandir in its full glory. And he saw what? 4,000 devotees? Is that the extent to which Lord Chaitanya's movement will be successful? No. We'll be successful when we go on yatras like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur went on yatras. He went on yatras with what? 10,000 devotees. And at that time it was only a movement in India. So we will consider successful when tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people pass through this Sridham Mayapur, through our Vrindavan, through our Puri. Then we will consider that we've assisted our spiritual master in some significant way. So we've all experienced the joy of this yatra. We've all experienced the benefits of this yatra. Let us go back now and preach to as many people as we possibly can in our lifetime and give them the joy of coming on this yatra and coming to these beautiful transcendental abodes of your Bharat Varsha. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.